Welcome to the South Cars Outreach Program. Join our training session in progress.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I want to welcome you to the Outreach Program sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and further assist those wishing to upgrade licensed status. The program tonight will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for a general class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly, which will be at 7 p.m. 2300 Zulu each Tuesday and 7 p.m. 2300 Zulu each a Sunday evening. For those that are already licensed and wish either a refresher course or would just like to listen, please connect to our SCARS server, that's S-C-A-R-S, at either EchoLink node number 96140, IRLP node 9614, or ALLSTAR node AST27404. For those who are interested, please contact Mike KD0CDQ via email at VOIP@voipnet.southcars.com to enroll in the class and be given directions as to the study material required in the manner you will be connecting into the course. The material being presented is formulated from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in a presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made and in keeping with not interrupting the class in session, please convey your comments or suggestion to the outreach program at voip@voipnet.southcars.com. Let me pause for a moment. It should be mentioned that this course covers only the requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing sessions on this server, please drop us an email at, once again, voip@voipnet.southcars.com. The session this evening will be recorded and posted on our website at www.voip.southcars.com. Please note, for all of our class members and instructors, it's extremely important that we all stay on the same page during these classes. The only question pool and copy thereof that should be used when participating in this class should be the one found posted on our website. Publications from other sources may or may not be current and should not be used during our sessions. Do we have any emergency or out-of-the-ordinary business that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program? If so, come aboard. All right, that's always great news. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Name is Kathy. Port St. Lucie is my location, where it's currently a temperature, I believe, of 77, and we had a high of about 92, so very nice day. But at this point, we're going to begin this evening's session, and I'm going to throw it over to my partner tonight, KD0CDQ, who's also the outreach chairperson, and he's going to begin. So if you're ready, Mr. Mike, KD0CDQ, I'm going to throw it your direction.
Thank you, Kathy, K6SUN. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec Mike. Before I start, may I give credit and wonder to my other instructors that I have been working with. It's really been a pleasure these last few days with K6SUN Kathy and WQ1I Paul. And also with Roger last week, W4RFJ, and Gary, KC2RMO. And, of course, tonight it'll be myself and Kathy presenting the questions. Now, what we'll do is we'll read a question, give the answer, give a little explanation of the answer, and then leave open time in case anyone has a question or anything, any comment they want to make. Come on aboard. We'll give that little break so you can do that. Okay, letting it drop, and then I'll start with the first question. The first question tonight will be G5 Alpha 01. Break. The section we're looking at today is the G5 Alpha group, and that group happens to be reactance, inductance, capacitance, impedance, a lot of fancy words, and impedance matching. But the first question that we're going to hit on now is G5 Alpha 01. The question is, what is impedance? What is impedance? The selection they give you, now they will not necessarily be in the same order on your test. They can move the Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Deltas about, but the answers will always be the same answers. And in Alpha, in this case, they give us the question, what is impedance? The first selection is Alpha. The electric charge stored by a capacitor, Bravo, is the inversion of resistance. Charlie is the opposition to the flow of current in an AC circuit. And Delta, the force of repulsion between two similar electric fields. The answer to what is impedance is Charlie, the opposition to the flow of current in an AC circuit. Now, impedance is a general term for the opposition to current flow in an AC current caused by resistance, reactance, or any combination of the two. Does anyone have a question regarding this question? Please come aboard now. Over. Okay, now the next question, I'm taking this in sequence, the second one. It's very similar to the question we've just had in answer, but it is not similar in question. That's why I put them both together, to avoid confusion or getting a little frightened when you're taking the test. Okay, we just covered G5 alpha 01. We're now doing G5 alpha 02. And this question is, what is reactance? What is reactance? Is alpha is the opposition to the flow of direct current caused by resistance? Bravo, opposition to the flow of alternating current caused by capacitance or inductance. Charlie, the property of ideal resistance in an AC circuit. And Delta, a large spark produced at switch contacts when an inductor is de-energized. I don't make these questions or answers up, okay? The answer to this, what is reactance? It's Bravo, the opposition to the flow of alternating current caused by capacitance or inductance. Hey, it's almost the same answer we just had in 01, which was the opposition to the flow of current in an AC circuit. But this one, reactance, is the opposition to the flow of alternating current caused by capacitance or inductance. Now, capacitors and inductors resist the flow of AC differently than they do in DC. The resistance to AC current flow caused by capacitance and inductance is called reactance, sometimes shown as a symbol X, and is measured by ohms like resistance. Reactance occurs because capacitors and inductors store energy. Is there any questions on the first or second question? Please come aboard now. Over. Not hearing anyone. Let's see, we've got those two questions out of the way, one and two. And we're going on to number three, and I'm going to send it back to Kathy. Kathy, K6SUN, take it away. Over.
All right, thank you so much, Mike. And I want to emphasize what Mike was telling you when you go to take that test. Be very cautious. Do not memorize the alpha designator. You can memorize maybe the answer, because they may switch those around. Also, I think Gordon at one point told everyone the question pool and the questions you have, if you look after the number of the question in parentheses, it does have the correct answer. And I always use that as a study guide. I would cover up the question and the answer, but I always knew what it was after, and I would count it as correct. So that may help you. Let me take a pause, and then I'll go into our third question. All right, the third question is Gulp 5 Alpha 07, and it reads, what happens when the impedance of an electrical load is equal to the output impedance of a power source, assuming both impedances are resistive? A is the source delivers minimum power to the load. Bravo, the electric load is shorted. C, no current can flow through the current or circuit. And D, the source can deliver maximum power to the load. And the correct answer is Delta. The source can deliver maximum power to the load. Now stop and think about this one. If the output device and the load device has the same impedance, then the transfer of energy will be 1-to-1 or maximum. So, do we have any comments or any questions on this? If not, Mike, you could pick up the next question.
Okay, did not hear anyone. Now, keep in mind, I should have read this at the beginning. We're into sub-element G5, which is electrical principles. There'll be three exam questions from the three groups that we cover, the three groups that are in golf section. So I'm now going into golf 5 Bravo, and Bravo covers decibels, current and bulk and voltage dividers, electrical power calculations, sine wave, and root mean square, and RMS, which is root mean square values, and also peak electrical power calculations. A lot of words there, but not to be too afraid, because the questions, they all stand by themselves. You don't need to have all that in your head at one time. So we're going to Golf 5 Bravo 01, and it reads, what dB or decibel change represents a 2 times increase or decrease in power? What dB change represents a 2 times increase or decrease in power? Letting it drop. The selections are approximately 2 dB, Bravo approximately 3 dB, Charlie approximately 6 dB, and Delta approximately 12 dB. Now keep this number in mind. The answer is approximately 3 dB. When a dB change represents 2 time increase or decrease in power, it's 3 decibels. So remember, when it's 2 times something, it's actually 3 decibels. Now here's a practical application. Suppose we're using an antenna feed line that has a signal loss of 1 dB for some given length, 1 dB loss. We can calculate the amount of transmitter power that's actually reaching our antenna and how much is lost in the feed line. So that's the helpful hint. Any questions about the decibel measurement? Over. Not hearing anything. I'll throw it over to Kathy. Kathy, it's all yours. Over.
All right. Thank you once again, Mike. It's awful quiet out there this evening, but hopefully they're taking all of this in. My question is Golf 5 Bravo 03, and it reads, how many watts of electrical power are used if 400 VDC is supplied to an 800 ohm load? And our choices are Alpha 5.5 watts, Bravo 200 watts, Charlie 400 watts, and Delta 3200 watts. The correct answer is Bravo 200 watts. Now, I do want you to look in our material on our website for the Ohm's Law pie chart. It's in that class material, and that will greatly, greatly help you. But let's think about this one. A double mathematical conversion is necessary. First, we need to know what the current I is. By using the formula of I equals E divided by R, we find the current to be 0.5 amps. Now to find the power using the formula P equals IXE, we find the answer to be 200 watts. And once again, look on our website for the Ohm's Law pie chart. With that, any questions? If not, I think the next question is yours, Mike. Kilo 6 Sierra United November, looking for any comments or any questions.
This is KD0CDQ for the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. As Kathy said, all of these classes are available through our website. They're all there, all these Q&As, and it's been going on for a number of years, so there's quite a bit of information available. Okay, now we're going into the third group of the Golf 5 Charlie set of questions, referring to resistors, capacitors, and inductors in series and parallel, and transformers. So the question I'm going to deal with now is Golf 5 Charlie 01. And the question reads, what causes a voltage to appear across the secondary winding of a transformer when an AC voltage source is connected across its primary winding? Now I had to read this a couple or three times to get all the question and the answer, you know, that it makes sense to me. Sometimes I have to reread things till they make sense to me, otherwise I lose it. Again, the question, what causes a voltage to appear across the secondary winding of a transformer when an AC voltage source is connected across its primary winding. The selection, alpha, capacitive coupling, bravo, displacement current coupling, Charlie is mutual inductance, and delta is mutual capacitance. The answer is Charlie, mutual inductance. Now with mutual inductance, maybe you can catch this the first time I say this. I'm going to let it drop and come back to make sure we don't run out. Okay, the answer about mutual inductance, transformers can change power from one combination of AC voltage and current to another by using windings with different numbers of turns. Keep that in mind. This transformation occurs because all windings share the same magnetic field by virtue of being wound on the same core. If the energy in a winding is the same, but the windings have different number of turns, then the current in each winding must change so that the total power input and out of the transformer are equal. This occurs regardless of what load is attached to the secondary winding. Is there any questions on that one? Come on aboard if you do. Over. Well, maybe it's quiet out there because as I look out my window, I see the squirrels and the rabbits having a gay old time out here. So I guess there's other folks are having a gay old time also out there somewhere. Okay, I'm throwing this over to Kathy. Kathy, K6SUN, take it away. Over.
Well, thank you once again, Mike. And looking outside, I see it's the sun's come back out. We did have some storms and some thunder. But the good news is the storm that was in the Atlantic has sort of disappeared. So hopefully it'll be some nice weather. And it hasn't been bad. Let me drop it for a moment, and I'm going to come back with the next question, which is Gulf 5, Charlie 03. Let me pause for just a moment. All right, once again, my question is Gulf 5, Charlie 03. And like Mike was saying, we're into this section on resistors and capacitors and inductors, Gulf 5, Charlie. So this reads, which of the following components should be added to an existing resistor to increase the resistance? And our choices are alpha, a resistor in parallel, or bravo, a resistor in series, C, a capacitor in series, and delta, a capacitor in parallel. The answer is bravo, a resistor in series. And if you're looking at the questions you may have in front of you, if you look at the very top right next to that question, you'll see the correct answer in parentheses. As you get further into this hobby, you'll learn this tip by heart. To increase a circuit's resistance, add a resistor or resistors in series. To reduce the resistance of a circuit, place a resistor in parallel with the resistor currently in the circuit. So with that, before I go into the next question, because it looks like, Mike, I have the next three questions, let's see if we have any questions or any comments from those listening. All right, hearing nothing, we're going to continue on. And now we're starting into a new sub-element, and this is a Gulf 6. It includes circuit components. And there's two exam questions in two groups on probably your tests. So Gulf 6 alpha includes resistors, capacitors, inductors, rectifiers, solid-state diodes and transistors, vacuum tubes, and batteries. Let me just take a pause, and I'll go into Gulf 6 Alpha 08. All right, once again, this question is Gulf 6 Alpha 08. It reads, why must the cases of some large power transistors be insulated from ground? Let me reread that. Why must the cases of some large power transistors be insulated from ground? Alpha's choice is to increase the beta of the transistor. Bravo is to improve the power dissipation capability. Charlie to reduce stray capacitance. And D, a delta, which is the correct answer, to avoid shorting the collector or drained voltage to ground. You will find this common practice with power transistors. And further, there is normally a heat compound placed under the transistor. With that, let me throw it once again out there. This is the General Outreach course, Class 5, and we're looking for some comments or some questions from those listening. So does anyone have a question on anything we've covered thus far? All right, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, along with KD0CDQ. And my next question is Golf 6 Alpha 17. It reads, which of the following is a reason not to use wire-wound resistors in an RF circuit? Your choices are alpha, the resistor's tolerance value would not be adequate for such a circuit. Bravo, the resistor's inductance could make a circuit performance unpredictable. Charlie is the resistor could overheat. And Delta, the resistor's internal capacitance would detune the circuit. And actually, your correct answer is Bravo. The resistor's inductance could make circuit performance unpredictable. You know, the rule of thumb suggests that a wire-wound resistor should not be used in an RF circuit. The inductance created by the wire turns of the resistor along with any stray capacitance can cause an unstable condition and possibly cause spurious radiation. With that, once again, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Do we have any comments, any questions? If not, Mike, you can take the next question.
Very good, Kathy. This is KD0CDQ here in Olathe, Kansas, about 23 miles south-southwest of Kansas City. Okay, what we're looking at now is Golf 6 Alpha 18. Question. What is an advantage of using a ferrite core toroid inductor? What's the advantage of using a ferrite core toroidal inductor? Okay. Alpha, large values of inductance may be obtained. Bravo, the magnetic properties of the core may be optimized for a specific range of frequencies. Charlie, most of the magnetic field is contained in the core. Or Delta, all of these choices are correct. This is the kind of a question Kathy likes, because all of these choices are correct. So on this one, toroids, those are like a piece of metal, you could say, with wire wrapped around it, shall I say. Kind of like a donut, okay? A donut with wire wrapped around it, okay? Toroids may be wound on ferrite or powdered iron cores. Ferrite is a specific containing iron compounds. These core materials have high permeability, making it possible to obtain large values of inductance in a relatively small package as compared to the number of turns that would be required for an air core inductor, you know, without having that metal inside. The material used to make the core is also optimized to work best over a specific range of frequencies. So all of those answers are correct. You've probably seen them. If not, there's pictures on the internet. There's probably pictures available about. It just looks like a washer with wire wrapped around it, or any kind of a donut-looking core with wire wrapped around it. And that's what we were talking about in that question. Are there any questions pertaining to this one? Come on aboard. Over. Okay, it's me again with this next question. This is a Golf 6 Bravo 02. If you notice in the text box, I'm putting the test question numbers. I always put the numbers in there in case somebody didn't catch us verbally. So Golf 6 Bravo 02. Now, what is meant by the term MMIC? Capital letters, MMIC. Here we go with these terms. Is it, Alpha says, it is a multi-megabyte integrated circuit. Bravo says a monolithic microwave integrated circuit. Charlie is military manufactured integrated circuit. You know, I don't make up these answers, okay? And Delta, a mode modulated integrated circuit. Okay, when they're talking in our field of amateur radio or electronics, an MMIC is, in this case, Bravo, a monolithic, means singular, mono, microwave, we kind of know what microwaves are, integrated circuit. It's a monolithic Microwave integrated circuit. You didn't think I'd get my tongue wrapped around that one, did you? Okay, now I'm going to let it drop, and then I'm going to read what this is all about. What is that thing? RFICs, that's a radio frequency integrated circuit, so monolithic integrated circuits, they got different names. But an RFIC are specially designed for functions commonly required at radio frequencies, such as low-level, high-gain amplifiers, mixers, modulators, and demodulators, and even filters. RFICs greatly reduce the number of discrete devices required to build radio circuits. An MMIC, a multilithic microwave integrated circuit, is a special type of RFIC that works through microwave frequencies, taking advantage of integration to combine many RF devices into a single package. Some MICs perform several functions. Now, an example of an MMIC that acts as an entire receiver front end. The MMIC is what enables communications engineers to construct low-cost cell phones, GPS receivers, and other sophisticated examples of wireless technology. So when you see that MMIC in uppercase, it's monolithic microwave integrated circuits. If you remember the word monolithic, mono, maybe you can bring that one back to mind. Does anyone have any questions on that? Please come aboard now. Over. Okay. We're going back to Kathy now. Going back to K6SUN in sunny Florida. Actually, we've got sun out here in Kansas, but we usually do. I mean, the thing's always hanging up there, it seems. Okay, Kathy, you've got this next question, and that's the final question already. I think it is. Go ahead, Kathy, please. Over.
All right, thanks once again, Mike. And yes, this is the final question. But I want to make a comment on your last question. I remember when I was taking the general, there were some things that I just, you know, memorized. And that was one of them. I think that was one I had on my test, because I thought it was just so unusual from the rest of them that I just merely memorized that. And, you know, I want to welcome one of our class members tonight, and that's Dave, KG7UET. He's from the great state of Washington, and I understand he's also a teacher, Mike, and he's on vacation like you and I are supposed to be on vacation. But I return in to some professional development next week, and actually school in a couple weeks. So I did want to welcome him and thank him for joining us. But let me take a pause before I do the final question. All right, our final question for this evening is Golf 6 Bravo 03. It reads, which of the following is an advantage of CMOS integrated circuits compared to TTL, and that is a transistor logic integrated circuits. Your choices are alpha, low power consumption, bravo, high power handling capability, charlie, a better suited for RF amplification, and delta, better suited for power supply regulation. Your correct answer is alpha, low power consumption. Yes, low power consumption is a trait of CMOS use. The CMOS is prone to damage by static electricity, and therefore special handling of these devices is necessary. So let me take a pause to see if we have any questions, and then I'll just make some final comments before I throw it over to you, Mike. So any comments, any questions? All right, hearing no response out there, I do want to let everyone know that we're over half of the way through on our course, our material giving to you. So I would suggest at this point actually going to a site. I actually used QRZ to do my practice test, but I would suggest maybe starting that now. When I took some of those tests, if I got 70, you know, on the first batch of 10, I went back and did it again until I got 90 or 100, and I actually went through the whole test that way, the whole series of tests, and when I passed them with 80s or 90s or 100s, I knew I was ready, and that's when I went to take my test. So hopefully that will give you some advice. So with that, Mike, I'm going to throw it your direction so you can close. Give me a few moments so I can shut down the machines, because I have a few to shut down. I will do the preamble again on Tuesday, and as far as your partner, and let's just leave that up in the air for right now. So back over to you, Mike. Katie Zero, CDQ, and thank you everyone for being here this evening.
Thank you, Kathy, and it's good day to have you aboard, KG7UET. Nice to have you aboard as a fellow teacher. You can tell Kathy's a teacher because she's really got the drawl for this thing, doesn't she? Actually, we go back here in 2.5 weeks. We go back in August the 6th with the students coming back August 12th. So we get back and start firing pretty soon. Sounds like you do too, Kathy. Seems like a quick summer this year, but whatever it is. Again, if any of you have any questions regarding anything on the exam that we didn't cover, you can send us an email. You know, we're open to the email. I'm going to throw it at you again if I get the right piece of paper out of here. The email address to contact us is voip@voipnet.southcars.com. By coming aboard there, with anything that got you hung up or any question you might have, you can send donuts that way too, I understand, but I don't know how you really receive them. But if you want to send any information to us, please use that website. And look on that website, because starting Tuesday, we're going to start using the diagrams. Remember, this exam has a diagram with it. And the diagram will come up, I think I've got it in one question on Tuesday. Kathy may have some too, I don't really recall. So remember to download the diagram. And also diagram that dynamite page that has all of those schematics on it. There's that beautiful page, 1 8x10, that has just about every electrical schematic that a symbol that they use. And it's all on one sheet of paper. That's a grand thing to have in your drawer with the other electronic stuff you can pull out. And if you're looking at a diagram for any reason, you can know what you're looking at. I'm going to let it drop, and I'm going to give you a little hint. Before we go off the air, this is KD0CDQ. You know, we all get plenty of emails, and we have a person here that sends emails out all day long about radio communication. And he sent one out from a fellow. Now, listen to this. In his automobile, in his vehicle, he usually runs his, I guess his 2-meter 440. He keeps it running, and when he turns off his ignition key, he leaves it running. When he turns his ignition key back on, the radio comes back on. One problem he's run into when he turns the ignition key off, power to the vehicle, and when he brings the power back aboard, he loses his memory in his 2440 radio, mobile radio. Now, how does he do that? He is plugged into the cigarette lighter. He's plugged in the cigarette lighter outlet. And when he's losing all his memory, so as a warning, I don't do that. I don't do that way. But keep in mind, I wouldn't leave your radio on if it's plugged into the cigarette lighter of your vehicle and turn ignition off and on. I don't think I would do that to my radio. It might be some kind of a slam. But for some reason, twice now, he's lost his memory. And it gets pretty disgusting when you lose your memory one time on your radio. When you have so many stations tuned in. But if it happens to you twice, I think you get a little hot under the collar. So please, if you do plug it in the cigarette lighter, I guess it's HT. I hope it's his HT. I don't know which, but if it is his regular radio that runs 25, 50 watts, definitely I'd wire it as Gordon has told us, wire directly to the battery. Do not use any accessories. Don't cut into any wiring in your car. Let me let it drop. One would be asking for trouble if you cut into any of your wires, or I would think use your cigarette lighter and keep your radio running. I think that's a danger to your radio and maybe to your wiring in the car as well. So remember that. Turn that switch off. It doesn't hurt. I always turn mine off and on. And also, another thing about your mobile radio in your car, I have it set for a 30-minute shutoff. Because possibly I don't turn it off when I leave the car. I forget. And in 30 minutes from getting a signal, when you do not transmit for 30 minutes, in this case, I have it set that way, the radio shuts down in case I forget. Okay, so keep in mind, protect your radios. They cost a little bit of dollars and not getting any cheaper. So that's an extra hint. But again, if you have any questions, we're willing to help you. We're all here to help. And now I'm going to do a few seconds of silence here so Kathy can disconnect the recording devices. I said they're all recorded. Now Kathy's going to disconnect the recorder, so let's all go silent until she said it's clear. This is KD0CDQ. Out.
This has been the South Cars Outreach Program. Join us again next time for another an hour series of training sessions for amateur radio operators. Goodbye for now.